The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
En el nombre de un solo Dios, Creador, Redentor y Santificador. Amen. Here is the source of every sacrament, the all-transforming presence of the Lord, replenishing our every element, remaking us in his creative word. For here the earth herself gives bread and wine, the air delights to bear his spirit speech, the fire dances where the candles shine, the waters cleanse us with his gentle touch. And here he shows the full extent of love to us whose love is always incomplete. In vain we search the heavens high above. The God of love is kneeling at our feet. Though we betray him, though it is the night, he meets us where and loves us into light. The three readings tonight have three common themes: gathering, a common meal, and remembrance. In the reading from the book of Exodus, we hear instructions about gathering for the Passover meal. It ends with the injunction, "This day shall be a day of remembrance for you." In the second reading, from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, we hear how, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his disciples for a meal, offered his body and blood, and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the reading from John's Gospel, Jesus washes feet and commands love in remembrance. "You also should do as I have done to you." In this sense, remembrance is not simply about recalling or returning or recreating the past. I want to suggest that remembrance is an active process of bringing an event from the past into the present moment, that it may have a continuing effect and impact on our lives. It is the window into a new and larger life. There is something about the human condition that hungers for remembrance, because remembrance has the ability to feed and nourish life. So here we are, at the beginning of these most holy days of remembrance in the Christian tradition. 2 years ago, Robert Leo encouraged us to enter them in the spirit of praise and thanksgiving to our Creator for having brought us once more to this holy season, and to enter these days with a child's eyes and a beginner's mind, and as if it were the first time. And it does feel very much like a first time this year. We don't have a guest house full of guests. Our services will be modified. There was no ritual of foot washing, and there will be no night vigil. The Passion narrative tomorrow won't be sung as we've done in the past few years, and there will be no communion from the reserved sacrament tomorrow. It all makes sense, since we don't have our guests. I am beginning to understand that our hospitality to our guests is about inviting them into our way of life, our rhythm of prayer, and our practices. Yes, but a lot of it is also a generous presentation to them in the form of ministry. Some of the ways we do things just don't feel quite the same without our guests. I miss our guests. It is true that our vibrant guest house ministry can be exhausting and overwhelming at times. We need all the breaks we have set in place. It is also true that we fulfill our vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Hospitality is our main ministry, and as Aidan reminds us, our guests help us to live our spirituality as Benedictine monks more fully, to welcome our visitors as Christ. There is a void in our monastery during this Easter Triduum, and a certain sadness in the air as we carry out our observances of remembrance. And the sadness echoes the sadness around the world during this time of pandemic. We weep with those who weep, and I certainly have done my share of that. But we are also people of the resurrection. We know that Jesus took the sacrifice of his body and blood and turned it into the bread and wine that holds the promise of the resurrection to come and God's promise of eternal life. We know that these coming days will take us into darkness and despair. But on Sunday, that Easter fire will be kindled, and we will hear the exalted. There has been much debate lately within dioceses of the Episcopal Church and also within other Eucharistic Christian denominations about virtual communion, drive-through communion, whether or not virtual consecration is valid, and so on. I am in absolutely no position to share an opinion on the matter. Indeed, I hear the strong arguments from different angles and know that they all come from a good place. And I'm aware of our privileged position here at Holy Cross, as our participation in the sacrament of Holy Communion remains uninterrupted. Instead, I want to share with those who will read and or listen to this homily an alternative for consideration, or perhaps a reminder for those who already know, that I learned in my childhood in Puerto Rico from the Sisters of St. Joseph of Brentwood. There is a very old practice called spiritual communion, which is the practice of desiring union with Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. As a child, I learned it as a preparation for Mass. But it is also used by individuals who, for whatever the reason, cannot receive Holy Communion. St. Thomas Aquinas defined spiritual communion as an ardent desire to receive Jesus and the Holy Sacrament in a loving embrace as though we had already received him. Spiritual communion has been practiced for centuries by Christians in times of persecution as well as in times of plagues. And it is the preferred practice in many other countries during the present coronavirus pandemic. I, for one, have been in situations many times in my life when I cannot attend church or receive communion. I have used this practice. It has always been effective and fulfilling to me. In the 18th century, St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a special prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are really here in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you more than anything in the world. And I hunger to receive you. But since I cannot receive communion at this time, feed my soul at least spiritually. I unite myself to you now as I do when I actually receive you. May we approach these great holy days of the Easter Triduum, wherever we may be, with honesty about the void we are experiencing, with openness about our vulnerability, with receptivity, and with steadfast love, gratitude, and hope. Que así sea en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.